Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. One reason our politics have become so divisive is because politicians on both sides play to their bases, usually the extremes of both parties. And that is because of our primary system, among other things, which punishes those running for office who don't follow that pattern. The result has been gridlock, unwillingness to even consider the other side, and a demonization of Republicans by Democrats and Democrats by Republicans. It is a broken system that must be fixed if America is to remain governable. There have been a number of emerging efforts by those serious about maintaining our democracy and fixing what's broken, among them a group called No Labels. They say they, quote, care about this country more than the demands of any political party. They say political leaders need to listen more to the majority of Americans and less to extremists on the far left and right. They say we are grateful to live in a country where we can openly disagree with other people. And they say we can still love and respect people who do not share our political opinions. Who's saying these things? Who is this No Labels coalition? They are Democrats, Republicans, and independents seeking to restore America's faith in democracy. Among those voices are former North Carolina governor and Charlotte mayor Pat McCrory. He is co-founder of No Labels and serves as a No Labels advisor. And Dr. Ben Chavis is a civil rights leader and co-chair of No Labels, also acting as an advisor. And both are with us for the hour. Welcome back, Pat. Nice to meet you, Dr. Chavis.
Nice to meet you, Mike.
Good to be here.
So, Governor, I'm a little confused. I really had never heard of the No Labels movement until we decided to bring you onto this program along with Dr. Chavis, but I know that it started somewhere around 2009, 2010, around the time of the Tea Party movement. And according to an organization called Influence Watch, it was founded by Democratic operative Nancy Jacobson after she observed the backlash received by then-President George H.W. Bush from his own party when he tried to work with congressional Democrats to balance the budget. And yet, I'm confused because I don't believe you were associated with the Tea Party movement, and I just said you're the co-founder, so straighten me out.
Well, I'm not a founder of it, but I'm a very active volunteer in the leadership, and Nancy Jacobson is still in charge of No Labels, and in fact, she put together what they call the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is a combination of both Republicans and Democrats in D.C., House and Senate members. And they're the ones who are right now behind the scenes trying to get agreement on the debt ceiling. And it's really probably that group that's going to get the speaker and the president together in agreement. And they are also put together some other bills, including the infrastructure bill that was a bipartisan bill. So this group's been around 11 to 12 years, and Dr. Chavis and I are honored to be volunteers with them, not only supporting the Problem Solvers Caucus in D.C., but also supporting our insurance plan for 2024 regarding the presidential election. And what's ironic is here, Dr. Chavis and I are both grew up in North Carolina, he in Oxford, me in Greensboro area, and of course, Charlotte. And we come from different political spectrums, but we have the same concerns for our nation. So who would have known that Ben Chavis and I would be working, not only working together, but we've become extremely close friends, and we enjoy each other's company. And we think that's where civil dialogue ought to begin, is even when we have disagreements, let's come together and find where the agreements are. And that's what Ben and I are doing.
Dr. Chavis, and we'll talk about this, was part of the civil rights movement for years. But what brought you to this movement, this No Labels movement?
Well, thank you, Mike. And I'm always pleased to be in the company and association with Governor McCrory. Two North Carolinians working together. I'm a Democrat. He's a Republican. We decided to work together for bipartisan, common sense solutions to our nation's problems in Washington, but also in North Carolina. I think we need more togetherness. We need to return to civility. And so, you know, my background is civil rights, Mike. I'm a former Charlotte resident. I graduated from UNC at Charlotte back in the late 1960s, early 1970s, and I have fond memories living there on Bates Ford Road there in Charlotte. But the answer to your question is that I think that timeliness, this is 2023, our country is very divided politically, our country is very divided racially, our country is divided very socioeconomically, our country is divided in so many ways. And so the thing that attracted me to answer your question to No Labels was this is a group of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents who decided to work together. I come out of the tradition of Martin Luther King Jr. He had this concept of the beloved community, where everybody loves and respected one another. Doesn't mean we have to always agree politically, but at the end of the day, we're part of one human family, you know, the oneness of humanity. And that's what I really respect about Governor McCrory. We both, I would say this, we put the importance and the strength of our nation and our democracy before party.
Dr. Chavis, the governor mentioned the House Problem Solvers Caucus, which has been working for years now behind the scenes for bipartisan support of certain legislation, among them the Infrastructure Act. And as he mentioned, they're also working behind the scenes to get the debt ceiling limit passed before the June 1st expiration date on that. That sounds very difficult, although I've heard from North Carolina's House member Jeff Jackson that when the TV cameras are on, it's a very different atmosphere in these hearing rooms than it is when the TV cameras go off. When they go off, the grandstanding stops and work actually gets done, and there seems to be a willingness to hear the other side out, which does not happen when the TV cameras are on. Is that how the House problem solvers work? They do it all behind the scene, and how successful can they be in an atmosphere where if you cross
the... Problem solvers caucus has been very successful. But and the truth is, yes, they work behind the scenes, but also they stand together publicly. I mean, I think at some point, you know, what Pat McCrory and I do, we're talking on your radio program together, but we also go to college campuses. We go to communities across the country. We stand together. We exhibit what we talk about, unity. Unity is not something abstract. Civility is not something theoretical. It's something that you have to practice in life. And No Labels for 12 years has laid a groundwork for the Problem Solvers Caucus. That's in the House side, but also bicameral. We have Democratic and Republican senators that are negotiating and talking together. I wish the whole thing, Mike, would also happen in our state legislatures. You know, we have a Democratic governor in North Carolina, a Republican legislature. They seem to be on different, you know, very divided. I would like to see us not only have civility in Washington, but I'd like to also see it in Raleigh.
So I hate to throw cold water on this because the effort is admirable, but let me just bring up something that the Washington Post had to say back in 2018. They ran an article about the House Problem Solvers Caucus in which they said basically that they had solved few problems and that, quote, it gives political cover to lawmakers with conservative voting records without forcing them to take concrete action to stall Republican legislation on health care and taxes. In fairness, that was in 2018. Have things changed?
Since 2018, Mike. And again, the Problem Solvers Caucus helped get the infrastructure bill that was after that. You know, the Washington Post is a great newspaper, but sometimes, you know, they don't get it. And in this case, they totally mischaracterized the effectiveness of the Problem Solvers Caucus.
The risk of the problem, these men and women in the Problem Solvers Caucus, some of them lost their jobs in re-election because they were willing to publicly say, I'm trying to find a compromise on solutions. So they, on both sides of the aisle, they lost their primaries in future elections because they got attacked from the left and the right in their primaries. So I give a lot of respect to those who were willing to challenge the status quo. And right now, Mike, listen, I've played the game. I've been a part of the game. I've been played by the game. The game is this in politics right now, and Dr. Chavis and I agree on this, is there's no incentive through the political parties to work together. In fact, there's almost an arrogance right now within the political parties of that the public just has to concur with whatever the political party wants it to do with their litmus test. You know, when I run in a primary, as even as a Charlotte City Councilman, I would be getting questionnaires where you'd have 10 questions and you would have an absolute test. You know, you'd have to answer all 10 questions the way the left or the right would want you to. And some of the questions were contradictory and hypocritical. And I saw this in my last U.S. Senate race. And they put you in this barrel with no flexibility in order to win the primary. And, you know, in this most recent election where I lost, I refused to get in it and I paid for it, which is fine. But, and that's why we're interested in the 2024 election right now, because right now over 60% of the American public does not want either of the two candidates that ran last time. And yet those may be the two candidates that the two parties present as though, well, we just have to concur with their decision. And Dr. Chavis and I are together going, maybe we ought to have a third choice.
And so Mike, the good news is the work of No Labels, we're growing. We intend to get ballot access, including North Carolina, in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. And so far, there's been thousands of persons in each state that have signed up. Each state has different laws about how to get ballot access, and we're methodically going through that. But so thus far, Mike, pleased to report to you that we have great enthusiastic response from Americans all over the country who want to see a return to civility, who want to work at the center of our democracy and not at its extremes.
Which brings this up. I think that's an admirable goal. I think almost at least 80% of Americans would agree with that. There are people on both sides who would not, so they're the 20%, I suppose. But Pat, you were a governor. You were a supporter of Donald Trump. Trump called you at one point in his life a loyal Trump supporter from day one. I believe it is true that you would have willingly taken a position in the Trump administration had he offered you one. You met with him at Trump Tower after the election and before he took office. Many view Donald Trump as the problem here, as the person who has brought divisiveness and made given permission to be openly divisive into our politics. How do you go from supporting him to where you are now?
Well, it's actually Donald Trump gave a speech 2 years ago here in Greenville, North Carolina, at the Republican convention when I was in the audience. And he stood up and said, Pat McCrory does not represent our values. And he's right. I don't represent Donald Trump's values, and I refuse to go.
How did that happen? Where did the switch occur?
Well, I refused to go to Mar-a-Lago to get his endorsement for the Senate race because I knew at that point in time, and I think I helped enable some of that behavior during that time in order to be a part of the party. And I've said that I helped enable that behavior at times, but his behavior and his character is not a character that I could go to Mar-a-Lago and say, I seek your endorsement. And I told Mr. Meadows that. And so, you know, when I ran for the Senate, I did not seek his endorsement and I paid for not getting his endorsement, which is fine. He was correct when he said, I don't represent his values. The only thing I wish I would have done is stood up and said, no, I don't. But, you know, I believe in civility and I didn't want to cause a ruckus in front of 2,000 people because so that's the way it is.
Governor Pat McCrory is our guest along with Dr. Ben Chavis. Both of them are associated with this organization or this movement called No Labels, which we'll talk about because they're talking about taking action in the upcoming presidential election if the two candidates that are currently the front runners remain that way. We're coming right back. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the No Labels movement, trying to restore civility to our politics and more. We'll talk about that as we go through the hour. With the prodigal son returning to the program, Governor Pat McCrory is back after a long absence. Dr. Ben Chaffetz is also with us. He's co-chair of the No Labels movement, and they're both here with us. The Republican Party, Pat McCrory, is the party of Donald Trump. There's no question about it. At one point following your unsuccessful run for Senate in the primary, you said you had to do some real evaluation where you belong politically, and you've addressed some of that in that last comment that you made before the break. But are you still a Republican?
Yeah, I'm still a Republican.
Why?
Because I'm still a conservative too on many issues, but
the Republican Party, arguably, Governor, the Republican Party, arguably as it is constituted today, is not conservative.
I agree.
So why are you still a Republican?
Because they still represent many of my viewpoints, and I also don't want to give up on the party. In fact, our goal, Dr. Chaffetz and I goal, is we may well offer a third-party presidential alternative if the two parties kind of wake up and realize they are not satisfying over 60% of the public. And I firmly, listen, I'm a Republican or a conservative in the sense I believe in competition. And both political parties, and this is true in North Carolina too, try to stop any types of competition. They don't want any competition. They want a monopoly or a duopoly in our political system. And I firmly feel that that now is working against the best interest of the American people, especially if the data continues to show after Super Tuesday of next year that the American public is not satisfied with either one of their choices.
When did that epiphany occur? Because when you were in Charlotte as mayor for, 14 years, I think, you were considered a moderate. And I think the only thing you really got any real pushback on was that boondoggle we now refer to as the Lynx Blue Line, which has turned out to be anything but. But then you moved to Raleigh. And in Raleigh, where you faced a very conservative legislature, you seem to have moved to the right. You signed HB2, that controversial bill that shut us out of a lot of opportunities in North Carolina for a while, and which then was allowed to languish, and yet other states are now picking up that same mantle with no consequences whatsoever. So where did the epiphany for you come from?
Well, I think all of us evolve. There's always involvement as we get wisdom, more wisdom in our experience, and the society, the two political parties have changed also. So Dr. Chaffetz and I, he's been through much more incredible and difficult experiences than I have, and he's evolved in his thinking too. And we're both followers of Martin Luther King. January 6th had a huge impact on me also, huge impact, because I'm concerned as Dr. Chaffetz is, growing up in 1968, when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, I think, Dr. Chaffetz, you were 21, I was 12 or 13 right. years of old. You know, all the violence that occurred in 68, I'm worried about the violence now, where people are not respectful of the institutions of government and other areas. So Dr. Chaffetz might be able to build on to that.
Right, well, thank you. And I just want to go back to Mike, something that you asked the governor, why is he still a Republican? You could ask me, why am I still a Democrat? We're both trying to encourage our respective political parties to move to the center, to move away from the far, far right, to move away from the far, far left. And it takes courage. I think what you just heard from Governor McCrory, I believe, takes courage. It's just not a simple pivot. I think that, and I'm pleased, I'm honored to work with him. We come from different political perspectives, but the more he and I spend time together on the road for No Labels, the more we find out we have in common. You know, when Dr. King was killed on April 4th, 1968, I was in Charlotte that day working for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, because Dr. King was supposed to leave Memphis and come to Charlotte. Reginald Hawkins, a dentist in Charlotte, was getting ready to run for governor. This is in 1968. So, you know, we both have different trajectories, but they're wind up together. And I think that as a Democrat, I'm pleased to work with my Republican colleague, Pat McCrory, toward the goal now of bringing our country back to the center, to bringing our country back where we can have mutual respect for one another. Doesn't mean we always have to agree on all issues, but at the end of the day, we should respect one another. We should bring civility, Mike, back to the situation. And at that rally where Trump called out the governor, that was an example of incivility. That was an example of disrespect. And I think that our country, most Americans, let me put it this way, the majority of Americans want to see us to restore our democracy. And how do you restore our democracy? By having greater participation, by having greater choices, and not being told by the status quo that you have no alternative choice.
But you're doing this, you're trying to do this, and I hope you're successful. I really do. But you're doing this in an environment that has been rigged. We have gerrymandered districts all over the country, including many in North Carolina, which is ensconcing minority rule and making decisions that go against the majority opinion of the country. You have a primary system that rewards those who play to the extreme left and right and punishes those who don't. And you can't get the nomination of your party at the presidential level unless you win the primary. And so you're screwed from the get-go.
So here's what gives me optimism, Mike. We're getting ballot access. And in order to get ballot access in all the states, you have to talk to people. You have to talk to Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And that's our methodology. We have a grassroots movement building called No Labels. It's just not a political organization. It's a movement. It's a movement for civility. It's a movement for common sense solutions to our nation's problem. And the good news is, Mike, we got a lot of positive response from Americans all over the place. There are a lot of former Trump supporters now in No Labels. There are a lot of former far left people who are now back at the center in No Labels. You know, at one point, I considered myself probably on the far, far left. I'm not there now. We all evolved. And I'm very pleased that to find a movement building process with tremendous response from the American public. We've got ballot access in Arizona. We've got ballot access in Maine, in Colorado, and Alaska. We're working, I just heard from Ohio. We got the requisite number of signatures in Ohio. And we're also getting signatures now for ballot access in North Carolina. So listen, the thing is, you're right, Mike. The status quo has things locked. But we're organizing and mobilizing outside of the rigidity of the status quo.
So let's talk about this, because No Labels has something called the Insurance Policy 2024, Governor, which says, according to your website, to ensure Americans have the choice to vote for a presidential ticket that features strong, effective, and honest leaders who will commit to working closely with both parties and find common sense solutions. President Biden promised to do that when he ran in 2020. Has he not lived up to that promise? And if not, is it his fault or is it obstructive Republicans?
Well, I don't think we're looking for fault here. We're following what the American people are saying. The American people are obviously dissatisfied with both the potential nominees, and we're looking at the data. And we're gonna look at the data after Super Tuesday. And if the data continues to show that over 60% of the people are not satisfied with either candidate, as they are today, they're not satisfied with either candidate, then we will run a third-party candidate, a bipartisan ticket, to give the people another choice. And we'll also only run if the data shows that a third-party candidate has a good chance to win. And we've never seen this difference before. Usually in every presidential election, about 40% of the people go, we don't like either candidate. We've never seen the numbers this big about both the Republican potential candidate and the Democratic potential candidate. It's over 60%. And that means to me the parties are failing us in nominating someone that appeals to both independents, Republicans, and Democrats. And right now, the numbers show they are not content. That could change between now and Super Tuesday. And maybe even our input and having the leverage of being on the ballot in states like North Carolina will wake up both parties and go, you know, we need to show what, listen, the nation's divided. We've got to understand that. It's very similar when I was on city council, when the nation, or on mayor, we had a divided council. We had to come together accepting the numbers. And right now the two parties are going in their corners and just assuming someone else will work out the issues like immigration. And we've done surveys and we hope to be coming out with issues in the future where on immigration, we know most of the people want a strong border, but they also want to deal with the Dreamers and other things. But the two parties won't let that compromise happen.
So, Dr. Chavis, the No Labels organization is trying to put together or considering putting together a 2024 unity ticket. If you put up this country was designed on no political parties, but it's developed into a two-party system, and third-party candidates always have a tough time. No one has ever won as a third-party candidate, I don't believe. And that person generally tends to be a spoiler, siphoning off votes from one of the two major party candidates, weakening at least one of them, and always losing. Democratic strategist Paul Begala, writing on the CNN website, says that most voters who reject extremism have tended to vote Democratic. And this means the vast majority of votes that a no-labels presidential candidate would receive would likely come out of President Joe Biden's pool of potential voters and not Donald Trump if this election turns out to be a rematch. Doesn't that concern you?
Well, it concerns me. I know Paul, and keep in mind, he's a Democratic strategist. So he's going to say what he thinks would swing things toward the Democratic status quo. That's just Paul Begala being Paul Begala. The truth is, No Labels will pull from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And that's what people are blind. We are not a spoiler. We're on record. The No Labels is on record. We will not be a spoiler in the interest of Donald Trump. We just will not.
How do you know that? You can't predict the electorate, so how do you know that?
Well, here's the thing. You said that no third party has ever won. Actually, when Lincoln ran the Republican Party at that time, was a third party, and he won. But that's just a historical fact. But the thing is, I'm trying to emphasize, Mike, that no contemporary third party process has been in all 50 states. They never had ballot access to all 50 states. That's what the distinguishing characteristics of No Labels is two. One, we're going to all 50 states plus the District of Columbia to get ballot access. Two, we are not going to announce who a potential candidate is going to be until after Super Tuesday. So we're going to be working all this time, all these months, getting ballot access, which gives us the leverage.
And can you win if you don't run a candidate until after Super Tuesday?
Yeah, the electoral college says we can win. Yes, okay. We've done the research, but again, we don't want to be premature. Right now, what it's going to give No Labels its greatest leverage is getting that ballot access in all 50 states, and that's what we in the process of doing.
So No Labels, Governor, says you will run a candidate, quote, only under the proper environmental conditions, which must be met for us to proceed. It also says No Labels is not and never will be running or funding a presidential campaign, only obtaining ballot access to lay the necessary groundwork. What does all that mean? What are those conditions that must be met?
Well, first of all, No Labels is getting on the ballot in all 50 states, getting the required signatures. The rules are different in every state. And second, they'll be setting up a process to accept nominees who are interested in being a No Labels ticket between now and Super Tuesday. And then No Labels will also have a convention in Dallas in June. Regardless whether we run anyone or not, we do want to have some help with the Problem Solvers Caucus and get this civility discussion going on, like Dr. Chavis and I are trying to be role models in that area as we go to college campuses to show people can actually have a conversation without screaming at each other. You just mentioned tempers in the Charlotte City Council meeting. We've got to calm down the rhetoric, quit the name calling, quit the labeling of saying that this person's right wing and this person's left wing, when in fact on different issues and different scenarios, people need to have the flexibility to move on complex issues that we have to deal with today without being trapped by a political stigma. So we're going to look at the surveys. We don't have an exact number, but if the election were held today, based upon the surveys we're seeing and based upon the current scenario, we'd probably run a third party candidate based upon the numbers. But we don't know what's going to happen between now and February of next year.
Well, that was my next question, Governor. NBC News, for which you are a political contributor, in mm-hmm. full disclosure, reports that 70% of people do not want to see a Biden-Trump rematch. You mentioned that earlier. The No Labels movement says it will nominate a third-party candidate in 2024 if neither the Democratic nor Republican nominees embrace or embody the values and the commitments that you espouse. At this point, do either of the frontrunners stand the chance of espousing those values or fit that description? Do any of the other candidates currently that we know about running fit those values?
Well, again, we'll be getting the feedback from the people. This is not just Dr. Chavis's and I decision. But we will be looking at the data, and we have a whole process in all 50 states of reaching out to people and getting their feedback who are interested in solving the problems of America that we are putting off to the next generation. And so that's the decision that we made in after Super Tuesday by not just a small group of people, but we've got a large coalition in all 50 states. We're involved in Zoom calls with a lot of people every week who are giving us feedback from across the nation and telling us what they're hearing and saying. That's one of the great advantages of technology right now. We're hearing that feedback. We'll make that decision. But right now, the data shows that people are not happy with the direction of America, and they're not happy with the two choices that the parties are presenting.
What is the difference between No Labels hearing feedback from the public and then deciding whether or not to run a candidate and who that candidate might end up being, and the Republican or Democratic parties holding their primaries and hearing from voters about who they think through that process the candidate ought to be? What's the difference?
Well, the one difference is,
Chavis say that.
Yeah, well, one difference is the process itself. In order to get ballot access, we're not waiting to 2024. We're not waiting for the 2024 primaries. We are actively engaged, Mike, in all 50 states right now, including the District of Columbia.
But that's just trying to get on the ballot. The Republicans and Democrats are on the ballot. You're just trying to get on the ballot.
They're on the ballot not as a result of grassroots engagement. They're on the ballot because of their status. We're getting ballot access to give Americans more choices. And case in point, right now, Mike, this is May 25th, and June 1st, the government may go over the cliff financially. So, I think there's a dysfunction that we need to solve, and that's why what No Labels is doing now is good.
We'll come back with more in a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. Governor Pat McCrory is with us, and as is Dr. Ben Chavis. Both of them are involved in an organization or a movement called No Labels, which is trying to bring civility back to American politics, something that is missing greatly and has been for about 5 or 6 years or so now. But they're also considering mounting a presidential campaign. They're seeking ballot access in all 50 states, so that if the time comes that they feel they need to mount a presidential campaign, they can. Would No Labels, Doctor, nominate an independent unity presidential ticket in 2024 if the Democratic nominee is President Joe Biden and the Republican nominee is Donald Trump? And that's a question that you guys ask on your own website, and you provide this answer. The answer is, it's too early to know. Why? What more do you need to learn about either of these gentlemen? And what more do you need to know from the voters about these gentlemen?
Well, we need to hear from the voters. All right. We don't want to presuppose that we know what's going to happen over the next 12 months. A lot is at stake. I've just said, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 7 days, Mike. You know, if the country goes off the cliff and defaults, that has never happened in American history. You know, as bad as January the 6th was, that's going to be even more in terms of affecting the quality of life of all people in America. So we have some real matters that need to be attended to in real time in 2023 that will set the stage for 2024. And that is why we're not going to just start throwing out names, potential presidential candidates, or what opposition is going to be. We are very disciplined. One thing I love about No Labels, we're disciplined at the state level. We're disciplined in what we say and what we don't say, because we don't want to give out a false impression. And to me, there's a certain integrity with being disciplined, Mike. We're going to get our values. We're going to get the data, as the governor has pointed to. And then after Super Tuesday and after next March, we'll make a decision about whether or not the two parties have done a job to offer Americans a real alternative, or whether or not a unity ticket. And a unity ticket means a Republican and a Democrat and a Republican. We haven't had a unity ticket before in America. So that's a unique opportunity. But we're not going to call that shot until we have all of the data and all of the responses from millions of Americans across North Carolina as well as across the United States.
In fairness, early in the Republic, we did have presidents and vice presidents who served at the same time from different political parties.
That's true. We did. And then we formed the political parties.
Yeah. I quoted the Democratic strategist Paul Begala a moment ago. Let me quote Stuart Stevens, who is a former presidential campaign strategist for George W. Bush and John McCain and Mitt Romney, who now works for the anti-Trump Lincoln Project. He says that the only way that you guys, No Labels, can justify your efforts and attempts to get ballot space is, quote, if you really believe that it doesn't really matter if it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Is he wrong, Governor?
Well, he's a part of a group that's attacking us from one side of the aisle and wants to protect his power base and his fundraising. So I wish you would read some recent editorials in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, in the Washington Post by George Will and others that say, you know what, this may be the time in American history when the American people will demand another choice, because there are some very favorable editorials that have come out in favor of this movement. And if not now, when? And this may be the time in American history where people like Dr. Chavis and I from two political spectrums are going, you know what, we're going to put the country first over party and really mean it, unlike a lot of politicians in the two parties who say it. We really are saying, and by the way, we're both catching a lot of heat. We're both catching a lot of heat and taking political risk in this. Although I never plan to run for office again, you know, I'm getting people who are saying, oh, you're going to guarantee you're putting Biden in office by doing this. You're going to hurt Trump and put Biden in. And he and Dr. Chavis is doing the same thing. So we're taking the we're willing to take the political hits to change the status quo, or at least put pressure on the two parties to solve the problems that they're not wanting to solve.
So in addition to trying to bring civility back to politics and considering mounting a presidential unity ticket campaign in 2024, Doctor, your movement is also committed to finding common sense solutions to America's biggest problems. What Yes. are those problems?
Was certainly the debt ceiling, certainly immigration, certainly improving our educational system, certainly making sure that we keep Medicare and Medicaid solvent. It'll be insolvent in several years. We can't wait. So we need to make sure that we have sustainability for those social welfare programs. And that means that we have to look at everything. I think we have to look at spending as well as programs that really help people. I'm very concerned. My father was a veteran of World War I. I'm always concerned about we're not doing enough for American veterans. We're not doing enough that help the people who serve this country, who keep this country safe. So there's some real issues. I'm also concerned about the criminal justice reform, police reform, all these things, guns. I mean, listen, you know, we have all these mass shootings that are going on all over the country, Mike. So they're real issues. But the thing that I respect about Governor McCrory and our No Labels teams, that we're coming together from, yes, from different perspectives, and then synthesize what we think is best after listening to the American people. We're going to be publishing a document sometime next month called Common Sense Solutions, where we're going to have all of these issues in more detail, Mike.
Governor, you know Mike Daisley. He's an attorney in town. He's been a political activist in this city for a very long time. And he has emailed us saying, would No Labels put its efforts behind a constitutional amendment such as Justice Brennan proposed back a decade ago? And I believe he is talking about gerrymandering.
That is not on the agenda right now that I'm aware of.
But shouldn't it be? Isn't that a place to start?
We haven't got to that point in time. We're just coming up on some of the important issues of the day that Dr. Chavis talks about. But, you know, we're open to anything to change the status quo and to get us to quit putting off. But gerrymandering, I will say this, both the Republican and Democratic Party have played the game of gerrymandering. I know this in our state and in our city. By the way, our city districts are gerrymandered. Our county and school board districts are gerrymandered. Our state legislative districts are gerrymandered. And it's been both by the Republicans and Democrats. And I'm saying, they're playing games with this right now.
Which is why I wanted to ask you about why you're starting at the national level and not at the local level. Because where Republicans have been insanely successful has been at the local level, putting people in place at the local level who make... because all politics is local, and most people are most affected by local politics, putting them in place and getting their way that way. So when you have gerrymandering...
I disagree with you. In Charlotte, we have no Republicans except for two elected officials. So that's probably the Democrats are actually, at this point in time, more successful in large urban areas, and the Republicans have been more successful in the rural areas. And yet we're seeing unity... as Dr. Chavis and I, we are at UNC Chapel Hill. We're seeing a real people going, my gosh, there might be more agreement on a lot of these issues than the parties allow us to state out loud. And we're finding out a lot of these issues, people are willing to come and go, where can the compromises be found?
But it's largely because of gerrymandering that a lot of Republican-controlled legislatures have been able to push through things that are highly unpopular with the public at large. Case in point, in North Carolina, this latest abortion ban, these are extremely unpopular with the majority of Americans and even the majority of Republicans. And others would point to attempts in other states, including our own, but in other states mostly, weaponization of education, of sexuality, of teaching gender, of teaching race, of teaching history. And since all politics are local and third-party candidates for president don't win on a general basis, wouldn't you be better served in focusing your efforts at the state or local level?
We've decided at the national level right now, at the presidential level, this is the time to step in. But who knows what the long-term goals of this movement will be. And I think the long-term goals of this movement will move to every state and hopefully to local governments also to call out the mockery of gerrymandering, which has been done by both parties.
Yeah, I agree with Governor McCarty. I think the movement that we are witnessing, Mike, yes, it's starting at the national level, getting ballot access in all 50 states plus the District of Columbia. But this movement has consequences beyond 2024. I think that when Americans come together, bipartisan, when they come at the center, it's going to start affecting not only national politics, but state politics and even municipal and county politics. It's a process. And I'm optimistic that people are responding to an opportunity. You know what, Mike? There's more discussion now about American democracy than ever before. To me, that's a healthy discussion.
Your group, Governor, says that bipartisan legislation is important because ramming through huge societal changes with little to no buy-in from the minority party is a recipe for endless discord and division. But isn't that exactly what's happening in state legislatures and other Republican-controlled states and ours and other states? Isn't that exactly what happened when then-Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell refused to hold hearings on President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland? Isn't that exactly what happened when a series of Supreme Court nominees were pushed through the Republican-controlled Senate by a president who lost the popular vote?
Yes. And it's happened with the Democrats in New York, where they have gerrymandered districts. And it's happened with Nancy Pelosi not taking things to the committee during the last 3 years. This political game has got to stop. So, yeah, there's been abuse by both parties of the system throughout our history. And I think we're calling it out in the Problem Solvers Caucus is a perfect example who are going, you know what, we're going to work together regardless of our standing in our own caucus. And I saw this in Raleigh, and I see this where the caucuses are making decisions, but the Democratic Republican caucuses are making decisions behind closed doors on what they decide as a group. And there's a lot of group thinking there. And then they come out and they're in their silos. And at this point in time, our nation is divided. We've got to recognize that. But when our nation is divided, someone has to make decisions. And making no decisions on such things as the debt issue or on Social Security, where, for example, on Social Security, President Biden, during the State of the Union speech, challenged the Republicans to do nothing on Social Security. They stood up and said, we'll do nothing on Social Security. So doing nothing is doing something on Social Security. And it's maybe the downfall of Social Security in the next 7 years. So I think that's what Dr. Chavis and I are trying to recognize is you're right, the system is broken.
So, Doctor, these are structural systemic problems, which yes. require structural systemic solutions. You were a longtime member of the civil rights movement. Certainly racism and segregation were structural. So you know that to a degree, at least, those can be overcome or at least altered to a great extent. Is running a presidential candidate the way to do that? Or do you have other arrows in your quiver that you can use?
Yes, there are a lot of arrows in our quiver. But the thing is, I wouldn't say arrows in quiver implies that we're going to injure somebody. I would use a different analogy. Let's look at where we are. This is 2023, Mike. 60 years ago, in 1963, Dr. King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. It wasn't just a dream for Black Americans. It was a speech for all Americans. Where have we come in 60 years, to answer your question? Have we been able to overcome some of the strictures, some of the systematic structures, some of the institutionalized discrimination disparities over the last 60 years? The answer overwhelmingly is yes. But you know what, Mike? 1 year after Dr. King made that speech in 1964, we passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. You know how we passed it? Bipartisan. Democratic President and Senator Everett Dirksen, Republican from Illinois, helped get that Civil Rights Bill. Then we got the Voting Rights Bill in 65. So this is why I'm giving you a historical answer to your question. Because we should learn from American history, not repeat it.
And it was a bipartisan effort, but as I think you yourself point out somewhere on the web, the vast internets, Lyndon Johnson, who was a Texan and a Southern president, et cetera, yep. pushed this through and knew at the time that the Democrats would lose the South. He was right. And that is part and parcel of where we are today. So can bipartisan solutions fix something that continues to rear its ugly head?
Mike, the answer is yes. History, we learn from our history. If we were able to do that 60 years ago, nothing prevents us in 2023, but our own arrogance, our own incivility, our own lack of competence to put nation first before a party.
It's difficult to argue with the basic premise of no labels. It's difficult not to wish you every success in the known universe, Governor. Because God knows this is something we must return to, or our democracy is in grave peril. But to the best of my knowledge, the No Labels organization has put forth no concrete ideas or policies, nothing about taxes, nothing about health care, nothing about climate change policies that would shift us toward cleaner energy. It's almost as though you're waiting for people with divergent views to join your movement and then come to some sort of consensus. As a result, is that realistic, or am I getting that completely wrong?
Well, you got to give us some time. We're starting from scratch too to change the system as it is. And by the way, we're getting fought in Arizona. The Democrats are trying to keep us off the ballot. Dr. Chavis has been involved with that. Chuck Schumer does not want us in the ballot in Arizona. We've got some Republicans who don't want us in the ballot in other states. So you've got to give us some time. But we plan to come out with stances on some important issues of the day, including immigration. and that will be rolling out. But without us getting on the ballot, it doesn't make any difference, because unless we get on the ballot, we have no leverage. We can talk all we want about a dream, but getting on the ballot gives us that leverage to have influence on issues that Dr. Chavis talked about.
Governor Pat McCrory is an advisor to No Labels, as is Dr. Ben Chavis, who's also the co-chair. Thank you both for the hour.
Celebrating 25 years on the air, Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. The senior producers are Gabe Altieri and Sarah D'Elia. Our engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or subscribe to the podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.